I am reading 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
They will be brought to us by one of our local deacons, Eric Hashi.
Dear Lord, thank you for the Sabbath day you've given us. And Lord, this is a message that each one of us can apply to our own bodies, our own minds. And thank you that we can be here on this Sabbath day to give you the honor and glory that you deserve, or at least attempt to. In Jesus' name, amen. Christian anatomy. When I told people that this was the sermon title, they're like, well, that's pretty unique, Christian anatomy. And our body is to be a living sacrifice unto God. We are to show to the world that as recipients of the wisdom of God, we will have healthy bodies as a result. And this healthy mind will be more clear to better communicate with the Holy Spirit than if this body were diseased. So that gives you a little taste of what we're going to be talking about. Have you ever considered all the facets, how our mind, our brain is put together? It's truly amazing. And I know some of us here, not me included, but some here, are students of nursing and healthcare, and they've gone through this. These were more than noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. So we need to use our mind according to God's will for his benefit, for his glory. Is that what we do here?
Amen.
Amen. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, Mark 12:30. God will not preserve our bodies in health if we refuse to follow his dietary and lifestyle plan, which is another excellent reason why we need to keep our bodies healthy. A healthy body produces a healthy mind capable of communion with God. Do you think if we have a body that's, we can't think clearly, and we're having to spend a lot of time just trying to do the simple things in life, that we could be able to communicate with God very well? It makes it difficult, doesn't it? It seems to. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Romans 12:16. And be not conformed to this world, but if ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that is in Romans 12:2. Let's consider something that was talked about today for the offering appeal, our eye. One of the most important things that we have, how could we go throughout life very easily when we have impaired vision or no vision at all? The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Matthew 6:22. So we need to look straight ahead, don't we? And not go from one way or to the other. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him, Isaiah 64. So what we're doing is we're looking at verses that pertain to the parts of our body. And it's amazing when you start looking at throughout the Bible, and when it's talking about our hand, our feet, our hand, our mind, our tongue, whatever it may be, there is an awful lot of information on there talking about how we should treat our bodies and the benefit we can be to others. Behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Revelation 1:7. And today, everyone in this room is listening. And here we are. And we have an ear. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding. Proverbs 5:1. And have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined thy ear to them that instructed me. Proverbs 5:13. When we are given wise counsel, do we close our ears to it? Are we rebellious, saying, I know more than you, or I don't need to hear that, or stop nagging me? Do we ever take what is given to us with an open mind? But as it is written, eye that hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. There is no way that we can envision what he has done for us in heaven. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Revelation 2:29. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Genesis 2. This was the first thing that happened to us, how God utilized our body. He used our nose. And you know, if you go out through the whole Bible, some really interesting things have happened. It's like, why did he, when we do CPR, we use the mouth. How come he used the nose? Well, that's a good question. Not that I can answer it, but he chose to do it this way. That thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. So we need to be wise, don't we? And oftentimes, we have a mouth on us that is controlled, and yet sometimes we don't seem to use our brain when we use it, do we? Seems that way. Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Psalms 34. Sometimes, when we're not thinking clearly, or we're rushed or something, sometimes we need to do what? Keep quiet, that's right. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Proverbs 21:23. For the lips of a strange woman may drop as the honeycomb, and her mouth is sweeter than oil. Proverbs 5:3. So we can use what God has given us for his glory, or we could use what he has given us to work against our own selves and against his will. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Deuteronomy 30:19. So everything that we say, everything that we do is recorded in the books of heaven. And they can either work in our favor or be held against us. And those things that are held against us, we have an advocate, don't we? And our sins can be forgiven and that book can be cleaned. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Malachi 3:16. Put away from thee thy forward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. So if we have problems with our mouth, we need to quickly get in control of it, don't we? Amen. That's right. And some people have an easier time than others. And I was amazed going through this that there was a lot mentioned on the tongue. I was just really amazed that there was so much information in the Bible about this. Even so, the tongue, as a little member, and boasteth great things, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. James 3:5. We can do great damage with our tongue. We can also do great benefit to others with our tongue. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue speaketh of judgment. Don't you want to be part of this? We all should be. And that's in Psalms 37:30. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. Proverbs 10:20. You know, we hear a lot about self-worth. And here, because if we control our tongue, we can have worth, or, as it says, we can have little worth if we misuse it. Jesus saith unto them, ye have ye ever read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. Matthew 21:16. There's nothing greater for one of God's children to be praising his name. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge upright. But the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Proverbs 15:2. Nobody here probably wants to be a fool, so maybe we should think before we talk. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Psalms 35:28. And here, as parents, some of us, we need to use this gift that God has given us to show our kids in a verbal way what God has done for us. And it's a great asset to share your testimony with the kids or to encourage them. And if you don't have kids, maybe someone else's kids. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. So we're talking about the same thing again. 1 Peter 3:10. If any man among you seem to be righteous and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. James 1:26. Now this is a pointed verse that we have. If you call yourself a Christian and yet you cannot control your tongue, this says your religion is in vain. Let's not be you and let's not be me. So we move down and we go to the heart. And again, there's a lot in the Bible about the heart. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Proverbs 4:4. So on the opposite of that, if we don't keep God's commandments, I don't think there's a promise that would cover. We won't live if we break his commandments. So we need to keep his commandments so that we may live. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked in me, any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalms 139, 23, and 24. We hear about the early Advent people with William Miller. They thought Jesus was going to be coming. When was this? What year is it? Anyone can tell me? 1844, and they searched their hearts, making sure that every sin was confessed, that everything with their neighbors was right. Do we do that? Oftentimes we do. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. Luke 10:27. And have we ever had a helping hand? Have we ever been a helping hand to somebody? And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hands. Deuteronomy 6:8. So what do we need to bind to our hand? What was that?
Good works.
Good works. We need to be of benefit to others, don't we? Ye shall observe to do, therefore, as the Lord your God hath commanded you. So there's a word in there. It says do. And I remember hearing a sermon by David Asherick, which many of you know, his title was Do. And it was a very appropriate sermon. It was very good. We shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Deuteronomy 5:32. So we are to go which way? Straight. That's right. We're not to get caught in the ditches of life, but we're to keep our eyes on our Savior, keep going straight. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day. So we're to follow what Jesus would have us to do. We really, if we want to be for our best interest, we should really focus on doing what he would have us to do. To their right hand or to the left, go after other gods to serve them. Are we to do that? Deuteronomy 28:14. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. So we're not to be doing things half-heartedly. I'll go 1 mile with you, but I'm not going to be going 2. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Ecclesiastes 9:10. So once we are there in the grave, there is nothing more for us to do. Therefore, if thine hand offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands and be cast into everlasting fire. Matthew 18:8. Now this might seem extreme, but if you cannot control yourself, and I think most of us attempt to, and with God's help, we are overcomers. So we don't need to do this extreme, but it is still better that if we can't, if we rely on ourselves to overcome, and we keep doing that, I think this verse would apply. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Psalms 127:4. The strength of us is not necessarily the muscles we have, is it? It's the assets that God has given us. And when we use them the right way, God is glorified. And right about now, someone's stomach might be hungry. So we'll talk about the stomach for a little bit. It's a twisted little thing in there someplace, hidden there, but it's there. Sometimes when it's hungry, it becomes one of the biggest things in our body, we think. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both, it and them. Now the body is for the Lord and the Lord for the body. 1 Corinthians 6:13. So we're not to disregard what we put in our mouths, are we? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. Luke 12:29. So are we ever concerned with what we eat, or how much we eat, or when we eat, or who's eating with us? So if we eat healthy food, we will be fit and trim, right? And if we don't, it is our duty to God to keep our bodies healthy. So it's not just an idea. It's just not a good principle. It's not something that, well, they do and I don't. But here it says our duty to God. So if you eat some food that you probably shouldn't be eating, or you're eating it too much, your body will reflect it, won't it? A diseased body will produce a diseased mind. Why? The stomach is closely related to the mind. Now, how can that be? If we put in a lot of things in our bodies, our minds will not clearly be able to think. God has a special work for each one to do in the world for him. We can cut this work short by having an unhealthy bodies and become the victim of a premature death. We can live longer by eating healthy and taking care of the body. A healthy body will keep young and old activities engaged in the master's work. Otherwise, we will cut our work short and be guilty before God of robbery. Now, none of us want to be robbers, do we? When God has given, he has made, and he has paid for our bodies and for our souls. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-4. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Remove thy foot from evil. Proverbs 4:26-27. So when there is evil, our feet need to be going the opposite way, don't they? And just keep walking. And if that's not good enough, start running. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt or injured into life. If we had to cut off our feet because of a sin, I think we would, if that was the choice right then and there, I think all of us would choose to stop the sin. Then having two feet be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Mark 9:45. We have some options here, don't we? Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. Psalms 18:36. So when God blesses us, we will be steadfast, won't we? We'll be unmovable. When temptation comes, we'll be steadfast, and as it says in Psalms, our feet will not slip. We will not lose ground. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Psalms 40:2. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. Here we have an example of the dirtiest part of the body, walking with sandals and dusty roads, that Jesus washed the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel therewith he was girded. John 13:5. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. John 13:14. And we do that in this church for part of our communion service. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadows of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. Luke 1:79. So we want our feet to bring us into peaceful areas, peaceful homes, and to bring peace with us wherever we go. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that was written for him. Isaiah 64:4. Using all of our senses, all of our reasoning ability, what God has made for us is far beyond what we can imagine, expect, want, desire. The world needs to see that those who are members of God's church follow God's lifestyle plan, having a very excellent health in comparison with those who are not and are of the world. We need to be an outstanding people for God's glory. So the reason to do this, it's not for ourselves. God made us, and we need to honor his body the way that he has made us, and to treat it in the way that he would have us to be. And there might be some here today that have not really appreciated their own bodies as much as we should. And I just want to take a little time for us to think about this. And you know how you treat yourself and things that we do that might not be the best. Do we need to submit our bodies again to God for his benefit, for his glory? Is this something that we really need to think about? It's like, God, you know, it's like I'm convicted that I need to, whatever it may be, go to sleep earlier. Maybe it's more sleep. Maybe it's getting up early. Maybe it's not being a couch potato. Maybe it's whatever it may be. Maybe I need to exercise. But God has given each one of us the ability to actually introspect ourselves and to say, well, this is where I am lacking, and how can I improve myself for God's glory? May that be your prayer and desire.